Welcome to Energy Matters, where we explore alternative health in the Pioneer Valley. I'm your host, Caroline Rutterman, and I'm a Reiki professional and intuitive in Northampton, Massachusetts. For the past 9 years, I've been teaching people how to use their intuition and helping them reduce stress and anxiety. Together, we'll talk with other practitioners and learn how they bring health and healing to the Pioneer Valley. Let's do this. Hey, welcome, welcome, everyone. You are listening to Energy Matters, and I am your host, Caroline Rutterman. And we have a great show for you today. We are here interviewing Lauren Picosa of Groundings, which is a crystal and metaphysical shop in right here in Florence. So welcome, Lauren.
Thank you, Caroline.
So I drive by Groundings all the time, and it's such a sweet little shop, and it's kind of tucked back. It's right on Main Street. You're like right after a realtor's place, and there's a little sign that says like Reiki and Groundings. And it took me actually a couple people told me to like go say hello to you and check in, and that you're doing really, really great things there. So finally popped in to visit you. Yeah. And that your shop is very charming. It has a really nice warmth to it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So tell us what are you doing?
So Groundings is a gift shop and art gallery and healing center kind of all rolled into one. Mm-hmm. So we have meditation nights. We have different practitioners that do Reiki and sound healing, crystal healing. So it's kind of
It's okay. Just keep talking, girl. All right, get it out. Get your giggles out.
Okay.
All right. So you do crystal healing.
Crystal healing.
Yep.
Meditation nights, workshops, all sorts of things.
Very cool. How did you get into this? Where did you just have like this vision? Did you wake up from a dream one day and you're like, I want to take over this healing center and be the crystal master goddess? And what was going on for you? Like how did you come into this work?
Absolutely. So ever since I was a child, I've loved crystals. I've always felt their energy and kind of just really got along with them really well. So when I had the opportunity to take over the shop, I jumped on it immediately.
When you say that when you were little, you used to feel the crystals' energies, what did that mean for you? Or how did you feel it?
Yeah,
what was that?
So it's very interesting. Different crystals have different types of feeling. So some instantly get warm, or some are really cold or stay cold. Some feel more energizing and some feel more calming. So I could really pick up on that quickly.
That's really cool. I feel like little kids are so tapped in.
Oh, absolutely.
They're like, oh, this is how this is.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they don't question it, and they don't necessarily need to, you know, go into this intellectual understanding of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So as an adult, so as a kid, you were always really attracted to the crystals. Mm-hmm. Were you developing crystal grids and things like that when you were younger, or were you just kind of like, I want to have this be my crystal friend today and put it in your pocket type thing?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I used to do not necessarily grids, but having a crystal each day in my pocket or holding it in my hand, or just feeling drawn to a specific one at a specific time, but not really knowing why. And over time, developing that.
Yeah. Were your parents into this kind of stuff? Were they like the traditional, you know, kind of like hippie parents that like encouraged you to have your crystals and as a child, or was it more, how did your parents fit into all of this?
They're always been supportive of everything I do. So
aww.
Yeah, so they're great. Absolutely.
That's really, really cool. So, you mentioned that, that when you had the opportunity to take this show, when you had the opportunity to take over the shop, so there was a previous owner to Groundings?
Yes. So the previous owner, Stephanie, owned the shop for, I think, about 4 years, and it was on Conn Street originally, and then she moved it over to Florence.
Yeah.
So it's been in, well, I took over about 5 years ago now, so it's been in that location for over 7 years.
So 5 years, that's, I didn't even realize that you guys were there long. You guys are really kind of, probably have one of those like magical shop qualities that like when you're ready to see it.
Exactly.
It's there.
And I always tell people that too. They're like, what? You've been here for so long? And, you know, it's meant to be when you see it is meant to be when the time you come. So
the former shop was in Northampton on Cotton Street.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you find the current location?
She had the current location when I got there. So it was on Cotton Street for 2 years, and then she moved it to, I think about 2 years on Cotton Street, and then she moved it to Florence.
Okay. Can you tell us what the address is, just so the listeners know?
Yes, it's 7 Main Street in Florence. We're we're in the same building as Murphy's Realtors, and there's a chiropractor as well.
Very cool. And you guys have a nice parking lot and some side parking.
Oh,
there,
yeah, there's a parking lot, which is great.
Yeah, it's very, very easy to access.
Absolutely.
That's really, really nice. One of the things that I really like is that you guys are downstairs,
mm-hmm.
and that the entryway is filled with so much art.
Yes,
and
yep.
All kinds of mandalas, and you walk downstairs and then you kind of, you know, it's almost just like a nice foyer of kind of seeing all this beautiful stuff that you have. So tell us a little bit about, tell us first about the range of stuff that you do there.
Yes. Yeah, so there is, we do meditation nights. We have a Reiki practitioner. We have sound healing, crystal healing. There's also, I have a tarot reader. We do all sorts of things. And then on top of that, we have like, I feel like art is very healing as well. So we do the mandala drawings, which are free. You can come in when we have that going on and use the materials. There's also the two galleries. We have the atrium gallery, which is pretty much set up with a local artist, Max Rudolph, who does the paper project, which is also a traveling art thing for free. And then we have the gallery space inside, which is periodically switched out with local artists.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. So you said that art is very healing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you understand that?
I think it's a great outlet for people to really just release their stress, release their anxieties, and express themselves without feeling judged.
Judgment, man. Mm-hmm. That is always something we are trying to root out as much as possible.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the monthly mandala making, what are those events all about?
So that's about community, getting the community together, having a judgment-free space, being able to express yourself in art, and feeling free to do so in a group setting.
And then you get to take them home?
You get to take them home, yeah.
Nice.
And we also have a larger doodle board, too, which is more of a community project. So if you wanted to doodle and leave it, you can. But you can also take your mandala home.
Very cool. Yeah. I like having a community doodle board.
Yeah. It's fun.
You can almost use that as a, divination of an oracle of some sort, you know, if your eye catches at certain things or
exactly,
certain messages.
Yeah.
That's really neat. So you have quite a few artists, local artists, that have their art on display in the space.
Yeah.
How do these people tend to find you? Do you handpick them for having more spiritual type art? Or how does the artists and the art community fold into the groundings?
So people can just email me their images and ask to be a part of the gallery space, or if they want to come in and talk to me, that's fine too. I always just tell them to bring, pieces of their work just to show an example of it. But I'm always looking for artists to switch out in the gallery space, and really there's really no limitation to what type of art it is.
Who are your favorite, current favorite artists that are up on the display?
So right now in our gallery space inside Groundings, we have Kara Finch. She's a painter, mostly in acrylics, and they're all amazing. You really should come take a look. but they're like very detailed paintings. They take her months to do.
Wow.
There's like They're so beautiful. There's one with like an owl and a mouse with an hourglass. Mm. And it's just, and she has all her little descriptions underneath each one, and they're all so meaningful.
Anyone else of note that you really enjoy?
They're all so wonderful. We have Deborah Swinsky, who does, right now she has some of her crystal drawings up, and they're all like either ink and watercolor and some color pencil, which is really cool. I love color pencil work. Some acrylic as well. And who else? We have, oh, they're just all so amazing. We have Chrissy Nethercott, who does the mandalas also. And she's also done the, what is it called? The chalk walk in Northampton, is it?
Oh,
or a
neat.
Chalk festival.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she always participates in that every year as well.
Oh, that's really, really cool.
Yeah.
I'm really fascinated with the creation of mandalas. Mm-hmm. I think that they are so meditative, and for the life of me, I cannot do them. I do have a meditation practice, but I'm really, really in awe when I see people kind of sitting there and doing these concentric circles and building patterns into that. And it's entrancing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We also have, like little laid out ones already, so people can just color in a mandala too. So if you feel like you don't have the skill to make a mandala, we already have some.
Okay. So, yeah. So there's room for people like me.
Yes, exactly.
Are you also an artist? Do you have that kind of training in yourself as well?
So I have a bachelor's degree in art education.
Oh, rad.
But I mostly do, when I went to school for art, it was mostly like hands-on things like clay building and stuff like that. So more abstract than the actual drawing. So
very neat.
Yeah.
So it must be really fun for you to be able to curate different local artists.
Absolutely.
And
I love seeing everyone's
space.
Different abilities. So
yeah. I feel like that is such a amazing part of creating a space, is bringing in people who, it's like, we don't have to be good at everything that we do.
Exactly.
But we can bring in the best the community members that fill those roles, mm-hmm. and do them in a really beautiful way.
Absolutely, yeah.
When I popped over to your shop, you guys also have a huge selection of tarot and oracle decks.
Yes.
So how many decks do you have over there? Do you even know off the top of your head?
A ton.
Yeah. is a quantifiable number.
Exactly. We have the largest selection of tarot and oracle in Western Mass.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So there is a selection for you.
I noticed. I was actually having a really hard time deciding. I was like, what do I want to get? What role does tarot and oracle, well, what's the difference between a tarot deck and an oracle deck?
So tarot is like a set form of divination with the suits and the major and the minor arcana. So it has its own set of rules, let's say, in reading them. And then oracle are more up to your own kind of interpretation for the most part.
Cool. So you kind of play by your own rules.
Exactly. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And each artist has their own little write-up on the decks, and they come with books, and you can really read what they say and kind of interpret to yourself. Or if you don't want to do that, you can just use the image and interpret it however any way you want. Yeah.
And I often see on your Facebook page for Groundings that you draw a card, mm-hmm. fairly regularly, and kind of give the internet a card of the day.
Yes. Yeah, I try to do a card of the day every day. We kind of switch it up sometimes and do a different crystal every week or something like that. But it's a nice little way to have a feel for the day, or interpret it however way you like. If you see it on a Thursday, but I pulled it Monday, it's meant for you on that day. So
I love that.
Yeah,
that's really refreshing too, because I feel like, you know, sometimes I think that there is, we put a lot of judgment on ourselves, mm-hmm. about what things should or shouldn't look like. And it's nice just to be like, no, it's your, the freedom to what information's coming to you at the right time is meant to be there at the right time.
Exactly. Yeah.
How does oracle and tarot play into your life? Was this also kind of a childhood thing that you got really into? Is this, I mean, not everyone can say that they have the largest collection of tarot in Western Massachusetts. So exactly. Obviously there's some passion in there for you.
Well, when I was younger, I was given a rune deck, which is a little different in interpretation, and it has, instead of, traditionally runes are pulled and casted, but this was a deck, so you pulled a card. So that kind of really got me into the whole oracle and divination systems. So it started probably like around 15.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like that's when a lot of young folks get really curious.
Exactly. And,
want to try to tap into their own information. When you were younger, or even now, what do you draw the rune cards for?
So runes are basically the same kind of thing as tarot oracle, a little different style. But you can draw them, and they kind of give you guidance also. So I haven't used them in so long, so I'm kind of rusty on them. But you can pull them for, like, you know, a mantra of the day kind of thing. Like, what's going on today? What do I need to know in this moment? You know, and you can pull one, and they kind of give you guidance around that.
Do you have a favorite deck that you are working with right now?
One
that you tend to gravitate towards more?
For tarot, there's a new deck, which is the White Sage Tarot, and that one just came out. That one's a beautiful deck. I've been kind of using that one a lot. But I usually gravitate to, there's a deck called the Nicoletta deck, Nicoletta Tarot, and that one's like a little creepier. It kind of looks like Alice in Wonderland, kind of themed.
Tim Burton style.
a little creepy, but also beautiful. So I kind of gravitate to those kinds of decks.
Okay.
Whereas other people like lighter pastels and stuff. But either way, they're all so beautiful. Yeah.
What do you personally draw cards for? Are you like, oh, I want to know about my love life? Do you draw for daily inspiration? Is it more for career guidance? I'm just being nosy here.
Anyone can draw for any question and get guidance on that question. I personally do, Wheel of the Year spread. So every month I have a different card I focus on. And just to kind of give me a little reminder of what might be going on that month. And like, nothing's set in stone. The cards can change. So people get freaked out. It's like, no. It's just kind of like a little stepping stone, a little guidance. Like, you don't have to go by it, or, you know, things change as the time goes on. So, yeah.
Why would people get freaked out over something? would it be kind of like they feel like something is set in stone? Or?
Yeah, I think people are just get like a little bit of that fear based, you know, like, oh gosh, this seems really dark, or this seems scary. But things change constantly, so, and not all the cards are like that. They're just the way that you interpret them. So
yeah. And you have professional reader, or you have somebody who does tarot professionally?
Absolutely.
In the shop as well.
I have a tarot reader. His name is John Mangipane. He's written a few books, and he's done readings for years, and he's very nice. He'll tell it to you straight. He won't sugarcoat things, but he's also
really nice.
Yeah.
You kind of need somebody to just straight talk you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and he's there like, you know, every other Friday, roughly, sometimes on Saturdays. So, yeah, you can just give us a call and set up an appointment.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
What kind of workshops does he offer? Does he just do the readings, or does he also do the workshops as well?
So right now we have a workshop coming up on, well, it's more of like a kind of like a lectury thing coming up on April 13th. It's tarot. What is it and what is it not?
Ooh.
So it kind of gives you that feel for what tarot actually is, and, you know, what people make it out to be that it is not. So it's a really great way to get a feel for the cards and really understand what they're about. It's like a nice toe dip you know?
Yeah. So. And I think that having that education aspect is so crucial.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the same kind of thing that in the work that I do, it's like oftentimes people do know what, maybe they've heard the word Reiki.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they might not have tried it before. Mm-hmm. So just that education piece can be the first step to consent.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, when somebody understands or feels like they have an idea of what something is, they might be, maybe the second or the third time that they hear it, they might be more inclined to, right. to say, yes, mm-hmm. I'll try that for myself and exactly. see if that works or yeah. if that doesn't. And you guys also offer quite a bit of Reiki and healing arts
yes.
at Groundings mm-hmm, as well.
Mm-hmm. So for Reiki, we have Casey Trenholm, who does Reiki pretty much every day that we're open. And she also does free Reiki clinics. So you can walk in and have a session for free.
That's so nice. Mm-hmm. Oh.
So again, toe dipping. You can
yeah.
you can try it out and see if it works for you. And the next one coming up is on Friday the 22nd. So she's there between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. And
wow,
you can call and schedule a time, or you can just walk in.
That's so generous.
Yeah,
that's really nice. You guys sound like you're doing really amazing things there.
Yeah, we try to accommodate for everyone in the community. So
yeah. So when people usually walk into your shop for the first time, what do people tend to gravitate towards?
I would say probably the crystals first. Yeah, because there's such a huge selection of crystals, and they're kind of like right when you walk in, it's like a wall of crystals. So they kind of go for that first.
Yeah.
And then usually the tarot, the divination, the cards there. Yeah. Right after that.
Yeah, you really yeah. do. I like how the crystals are all set up. It's you have some nice glass cases for mm-hmm. kind of the bigger, fancier, you know, more yeah. more like specific pieces, the collector pieces. And then you also have some nice kind of little, you know, smaller pocket stones.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I want to jump back to the tarot and the divination. What, I'm trying to think, where do people... And what, I guess, tell us a little bit more about your understanding in how these are used and how they're kind of like designed for the world, for the community around us. I guess kind of just freestyle. I don't really know if I have a question, but I feel like I kind of want to talk more about
talk more about it?
Yeah, I want to talk more about the tarot. I'm not sure if I have a question that I'm, there's some thread that I know that is in there that I want to dig out a little bit. What's the role that it plays? So I know that you do for yourself, you do the wheel, the year-long wheel. Yeah. What was it that you called it?
The year of the wheel, or wheel of the year spread. So it's just one card for each month of the year.
And you do the whole spread all at the beginning of the year?
I do it at the beginning of the year, yeah.
Is the beginning of your year January 1st, or do you honor a different beginning of the year?
You can do it on January 1st, or you can do it on your birthday. Either way
is
valid. So whatever
lovely.
You feel drawn to. Yeah.
Okay. Do you bring in the astrological stuff for your kind of like planetary, you know, shifting and movement into your tarot spreads?
I don't get that kind of crazy.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, yeah. I try to keep it very simple and, you know, just very simplistic. So just like a little blurb about the card, you know, and then like maybe things that the goals I would like to obtain for the month. And, you know, and at the end of the month, I like to kind of review my month and see if the card pertained to the month or if things shifted in a certain way that it no longer was valid. So, yeah.
Did last month, can you tell us what happened for your last month? If that's not too personal, I would love to, I love to hear about people's, if it is feel too personal, we can.
Last month was a little hectic.
Okay.
And the card was pretty dead on.
Okay. Which card was it? Or can you describe the card?
I don't remember which one it was now. Let's just say it was pretty dead on for last month. But nothing bad. It was just a little chaotic, but things kind of eased into this month. So
okay,
yeah,
cool. So it did give you a guiding post.
It did give me a guiding post. Yeah,
yeah, so. That's cool. So I know that you curate the art within Groundings. You kind of are the space that where you're hosting different events, the tarot talks and different workshops. And you also, because through your kind of love of working with crystals, you also have a healing practice as well.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the crystal healing work that you do.
So I do crystal healing, which is a vibrational healing energy system, and it works with the crystals directly in placing the crystals on the body. So depending on what's going on in your life, or if you just want to do a simple balancing of the chakras, different crystals are used to place on the body and bring you back to pure well-being, basically.
What kind of crystals do you tend to use? Do you have your own private stash of crystals that you feel have particularly high or an attraction to working with people in a public way?
I do. I have my own personal collection that I use. Not that different, like all rose quartz vibrate at the same frequency, but some kind of jive with people differently than others. So I have my own little selection. I have two sets. One's more of a flatter set that are easy to be placed on. One is like a little like pyramid set. So it's a little more energizing, let's say.
The
pyramid shapes are a little more energizing.
Oh, interesting.
And then I add other crystals as well. So depending on what's needed at that time.
Why are the pyramid shapes more energizing than the flat ones or different shaped crystals?
For me personally, I feel like tapping into their energy and moving the energy around is a little easier with the pyramid shape. The flat ones are great too. It depends on the person too, what kind of energy they need. If they need a little lower energy, I'll do the flat. If they need a little more kick in the butt, we'll use the pyramid.
Okay. Like, we got to get this going here.
Yeah, exactly.
Very neat. How did you get into this work?
You know, ever since I was little, I just really could talk with the crystals and feel their energy and receive their guidance and kind of go from there. So it's just kind of grown over time with being able to tap into them and feel what people need and kind of like move things around. And yeah.
When you say that you talk with the crystals, what is that process like of communication?
It's more of like, it's not like a conversation per se. It's more of feelings and emotions and getting that kind of information. So tapping into someone's energy field and feeling what they may be missing or may be needing, and then kind of feeling what certain crystal will be good for that.
So you're really working in almost a vibrational mix match kind of way.
Exactly.
That's really, really cool. How is this work different from when you first started? How have your skills developed in this way? Like, how did it start and how has it evolved?
So throughout the years, I've gotten different trainings also. So I kind of like incorporate different things as well. I'm a Reiki master as well. I have training in color therapy and in essential oil use. So aroma touch, that kind of thing too. So I can incorporate different things. I like to use sound healing as well. So I kind of incorporate a little bit of everything to like give you the cocktail you need to really get things going.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Do you tend to find that that you bring in these additional skills at the same time when somebody's receiving a crystal healing, or does it tend to be predominantly crystals, or how does that I know everyone who works in the healing arts has their healing basket as it is, and you know, it's you come in and you get all kinds of different stuff.
Right, exactly.
Without knowing it, often you just feel really, really good afterwards.
Exactly. So yeah, it's predominantly the crystals, and then I have, you know, sometimes I'll bring in the sound healing as well a little bit to kind of knock off some other stuff. And yeah, it's mostly crystals, but then like if I feel drawn to using other things, I will.
What do people come in when they're saying I need a crystal healing? Well, what do people usually come in asking for?
So people come in and ask that, you know, say that they're really tired or really sluggish, or they just feel off balance, or, you know, something just doesn't feel right. After a session, they feel a lot better. So
do people come in for series, or is it usually a kind of a tune up?
So I have different clients for different things. So sometimes it's just a tune up. Sometimes it's we're working through something. So it can go either way. Usually it starts off as just, you know, oh, I'm interested in this. Let's try a balance, you know. And then after that, we kind of dive in a little deeper and work from there.
And when you talk about the balance, what are you balancing?
So I'm balancing the chakras in the body, so the energy centers in the body. When a chakra becomes off balance, we tend to like not feel so well, or different things start to happen that aren't, you know, great for our health. So once we balance those, we start to feel a lot better.
Do you have any examples of a really impactful or a really memorable experience of how a particular stone worked with somebody's energy? And like, just, I don't know, is there anything that, something really memorable that you're like, wow, like this just floodgate opened? Or
let me think here. There's just, everyone's experience is so different.
I wonder, I mean, do you feel like some of the crystals tend to have stronger effects?
Definitely. So certain crystals are definitely higher frequency than others. So there's certain ones that I don't like particularly like to work with for long periods of time, because it's too intense, too much energy, or makes you feel too much of a certain way, or kind of throws you off balance in the opposite direction. But sometimes those crystals work perfectly with other people.
Is there an example that of a type of crystal that's like very, very vibrational that needs to be moderated?
I personally don't use moldavite for long periods of time. I think that one's very intense. Same with the lithium quartz. I love lithium quartz, but in small doses. So like I use that in my practice as well, but I don't use it for long. I don't place it on the body. I kind of use it around the body.
Yeah. Lithium, I think, is a really interesting earth element, because, you know, I met a woman who, and obviously I would not recommend this to the average person, but she was dealing with a lot of bipolar stuff for most of her life. And so she took herself, and again, not diagnosing anyone and not recommending this, but she took herself off the lithium that she had been prescribed, and she wore lithium inside of quartz as a necklace to help her stay grounded. So it was the same for her. The ingestion of lithium was too much as a prescribed drug, but for her, she still wanted that element for healing and grounding within her energy field.
Yeah.
So lithium is really, like you said, it's very, very powerful. Very powerful, but sometimes you need to moderate that too.
Exactly.
Because it almost feels like, you know, when you go to the dentist and they put that heavy blanket on you to protect you from the radiation. It kind of has that to me. Like, that's my experience with that crystal. It's just like, it just feels like very sedative and very calming and really loving, but like, it can also, you know, it can also weigh you down.
Exactly.
Especially if you're not careful.
Especially in the clear quartz. So like lithium clusters or lithium in the clear quartz, because the clear quartz is an amplifier. So you're really amplifying the extra properties of that crystal.
Oh, yeah. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about when somebody comes in, they lay on like the massage table and you start do you do like a giant crystal grid around them? Is it just the laying of crystals on particular points of the body that you're kind of sensing and working with? If somebody was just like watching this, does this look like?
So they lay on the massage table and the crystals are placed on and around the body, sometimes in a grid-like pattern, sometimes just in a line or in a row, depending on what's going on, what's needed. I usually grid the body also to help keep it as a safe bubble and protective space. So it's... very different with each person. So, but the crystals are laid on top of the body and around. Yeah.
How do you, what are your thoughts on, when we're doing healing work, what are your thoughts on protection? Because I know that that's sort of a hot button issue in, you know, when people are talking about healing work. I'd love to hear your kind of thoughts, because I know that can be very, that can be a little slippery slope when people start talking about protection.
Yes. So
I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So, well, before I even do a session, I always clear the space first, and groundings is gridded. So nothing can come into the space that's unwanted.
Oh, hello.
So it's very, yeah. So I'm big on protection.
Yeah.
So yes, there's nothing that can come into the space that's unwanted. So I always like to think of it as like a window screen. So good things can come in, like the air and, you know, the scents from outside, but
keeping the flies out.
Keeping the flies out, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So the main space is gridded for protection.
Yes.
And then, and that, so that kind of creates that energetic barrier of what, keeping in what you want and trying to keep the, you know, things that you are less desirable out of the space. And so, and then you also create another energetic protection zone when people are in the healing space.
Exactly. So when they're receiving healing, I always sage the space or use Palo Santo, or I have a spray too, depending on if they have allergies or, you know, don't like the smell of incense or anything like that. I have a spray that I use as well with essential oil, so it's a little, you know, not as harsh. So I always grid the space and clear the space before a session and after a session as well.
And what does this protection allow for people?
So it allows people to feel more comfortable in the space. It opens up a whole, just basically a way of more loving, energizing, healing space, so people can feel comfortable in talking or releasing. Yeah, that sort of thing.
Oh man, I should have you do our radio station so we can have the highest vibrational space here. That would be really, really fun.
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right. I'll check with the board.
Yeah.
Awesome. So how can people find you? How can people know what's coming up within, because I know you guys are always having really cool stuff. I tried to make the drum circle a couple weeks ago, but I was running a little bit late, so I didn't get to make it on time.
No.
But how can people find your events that you have?
Yeah, so right now we have a Facebook page, so you can go to the Groundings LLC Facebook page and look up the events there. Right now I'm revamping the website, but you can go to groundingsllc.com, and I'll be trying to post the events there soon, but that's like in the works there as well. And then we have Instagram and Twitter.
Very, very cool. And those, it's your Insta and your Twitter are all Groundings LLC?
The Instagram is just Groundings.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and how can people, if they're interested in getting a crystal healing from you directly, how can we find you?
Absolutely. You can give me a call. The number is 413-320-4919, and I'm there Wednesday through Saturday.
Fabulous. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Mm-hmm.